following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities' number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria and Zaretska, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? Think Midway.com.
No. I don't think that's just it's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one. Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. Doug Duda, Jim Langan with you. Can't believe we haven't had the call up already, Jimmy, to fill in for Cowherd.
Yeah.
We will cover a lot of things over the next couple of days. It is basically the start of the football season later this week. We will go to Big Ten Media Days, be there for you Thursday and Friday from Chicago. 14 teams in 14 days continues today with Michigan. I don't know even how much we're going to get to the X's and O's about this Michigan team. It seems like depth is what they're most concerned about. Depth at a variety of positions, which, Jimmy, I think, and we'll talk to Mark Schneider of the Detroit Free Press about it, but when your coach is a little bit on the hot seat, in this day and age, the only way your coach gets on the hot seat is the media puts him on the hot seat. If you don't talk about this guy being in a little bit of trouble, I mean, you can be obvious if you go 2-10 five straight years, you've done yourself in. But you probably don't get the commits, you probably don't get the talent, and that leads to a lack of depth for a lot of these coaches that take over a program where you fired the previous guy.
Yeah, that's a good point. It really is. That the people around Nebraska, when they would be bashing coaches, whether it was Callahan or Pelini, when your program's not good and it's not where you want it to be, people, the recruits from other states listen in. Now, I don't know if the Nebraska kids listen in that much, but I think the recruits from other states do.
And, of course, Michigan, they're competing against Ohio State. Now Michigan State's starting to get some of their kids in more and more and more. So we'll talk with Mark Schneider about that. Also, kind of the month-long revelation of the Nebraska 100. This is something the Omaha World Herald did 10 years ago from a history standpoint. Who are the best of the best? And then they've redone it because in the last decade, obviously, there have been some of the athletes on the list continuing their careers, new athletes over the last decade. In fact, 9 new members, the highest, Jordan Larson. Jordan Larson, now married Burbach, a volleyball player. They put her in at number 10, which I thought was too high. And then the whole time I was thinking, are you telling me that over the last, because if you look at the list, there's really nobody from the last 30 years outside of her that has been deemed one of the greatest athletes of all time in the state of Nebraska. And in this day and age where everybody's bigger, faster, stronger, better, that is very shocking to me. I think they're just hesitant to throw the punch, to put them on there, because I think and that's the great thing about the list. We get to debate it. There's really no major changes in the top, except you move in Jordan Larson and you bump one other person down a notch or two. And we'll talk with Thad Livingston. He is the sports editor of the Omaha World Herald. We'll talk a little bit about the process. We did that ahead of time with Stu Pospisil, who was big onto this, as a lot of the World Herald guys were. And I listened to the interview that Thad had on The Bottom Line, which is the World Herald's daily afternoon sports talk show with Michael Sevier, who we've had on the show before. And it's very interesting, and we run into this as we are. We can turn to most of our producers on the show have been young, early to mid-20s, when we've had over the decade of the show. And I constantly have to remind myself that names that we throw out, Jimmy, sometimes they've never even heard of them, don't have any idea. I mean, Caleb did not know who Dave Winfield was, and that's just one of them. That's no fault of his. It's just one of the great athletes of all time, just before his time. And Thad Livingston was talking on the interview with Michael Sevier about a lot of the guys that work at the World Herald, your Dirk Chatland, your Sam McEwens, they're younger. They're younger guys. They're in their 20s, 30s. And he's got a story on there about Tom Kropp. You know, and it just he goes, you know, that's somebody I saw. That's somebody that was in my era. And there's a couple of the guys on there that are old, and I'm usually one of those that stands up for the old-timers, but there's a couple of them on there I'm going, wow, really? So, interesting. Did you get a chance to kind of look at all overall the 100?
Yeah, in fact, I looked at a pretty good one day, you know, and went over. One of the guys that knows quite a bit about sports, that's a really good friend of mine, made the comment, how in the heck is Amon Green below Johnny Rogers?
I think that's one of the interesting questions, too, from my standpoint, is how they determine who's great. Because on this list, they're basically pinpointing the one sport that they went on to play in college and the pros that they excelled at, which may be a little different than when we're thinking Nebraska High School Hall of Fame. But I think that has to be taken into account, and I don't think it is. I really don't think it is. It's you even read the bios, and it's just more about that one sport. I'll agree with you. I was thinking, who would you move around in the top 10? And I'll agree with you. As much as we love Johnny Rogers, and he has had the greatest play in Nebraska football history, you know, it's almost sacrilege to say something like that.
Yeah, I think it really helped if you were good in two or three sports. I mean, if you could say, hey, you know, I concentrated on this. You know, when Bob Gibson was a tremendous pitcher, and then he could also play for the Harlem Globetrotters, you know, I think that solidified, you know, hey, I was a Hall of Famer here, but I also could play this position here. So I think that had a little of the criteria to do. I thought they based way too much, and even though it was my favorite year, the 71 Husker team, you know, when they beat Oklahoma 35-31, numerous people are on that list because of how they performed in that game. And Jeff Kinney, definitely at number 100, mm-hmm. you know, had four touchdowns in that game. But, you know, the thing with track and field, you can compare. You look at track and field and you go, hey, this guy did this. He won the Olympic gold medal, you know, or he, you know, he did this. Because we have a guy from Axtell that, you know, shot a great rifle shooter in 76, Anderson, I think is his name, and won the gold medal. What's interesting, he didn't do that at age 16, 17, and 18, you know, 19, 20, 21. Like, you have to perform against college. So you're basing it on what he did with his age bracket. And there's no, I don't think there's any age bracket for shooting a rifle, you know, I mean, basically. So there's some different things in how you know, if you really won that Olympic gold medal, it's really hard to not be on the list. You know, if you won something like that, it's, you've solidified your spot being on the list. So.
Yeah, it's going to be full of Husker football players, and I kind of that Amon Green. I'd like to know, because I don't really know what Johnny Rogers did in high school, what his times were, what all the sports were that he did. You know, some of them you. Amazingly, maybe they weren't tracksters. Maybe they were doing something else. And I would have thought that it didn't look to me like a lot of that got weighed in to the decision. And that's why we're hopefully we'll have a little fun with that at the last segment of the show today.
And I think the other thing, I think that, you know, there were different people in different areas. And if they went to bat for somebody, and said, hey, we're going to get this guy needs to bid. Is it because they had an honorable mention list. I don't know if you saw the honorable mention list. I don't think Reinertsen from Gibbon was in that list. And I saw Kurt Lauer was in the list. You know, Kurt Lauer from Gibbon was in the list. Okay, I know one scored more points and one had a three-point line. But the other one's, you know, playing golf in Oklahoma. You know what I mean? So there was so it's a different deal in a different era, I guess. I just looking at that would be debated whether they both should have been on the list as you know in that list that they put out at a second, kind of like their honorable mention lists left. But not that that's what we were completely talking about. But you get into the honorable mention list, and then you have a whole group going, you got to be kidding me. That guy wasn't on the honorable mention list. You know, then you really need it. So to get into the 100, I know they took the jockey out that won the Kentucky Derby, Doug, you know, in 49. There was a guy that rode a horse, and I think the horse had maybe more to do with it than the jockey. But anyway, you know. And the different sports that they tried to recognize. But, boy, football was taken, you know, like in the state of Nebraska.
We have 43 of the athletes are football. 43 of the athletes on the list, their main sport was football. Basketball, 13. Baseball, 11. Track, 11. Then you had 5 volleyball, 4 wrestling, and then on down the line with 1 and 2 for about 10 other sports there. But it's interesting. In basketball, in Livingston's article here, I mean, Chuck Jura, Bill Jackman, they're not on the team. I mean, he says, hey, we could take a starting 5 of our honorable mention, Bart Kofod, who played here in Kearney, Rich King, Chuck Jura, Bill Jackman, Dean Thompson, who played in the NBA, UNO's all-time leading scorer, and they're not on the top 100.
Yeah, and you know, the other thing, too, is you're going to have I would just guess, and I didn't look at this concretely, but I would guess that in the top 10, you would have more type of running backs, you know, in your football, and your linemen would be moved behind a little bit, too. And I didn't check it out that hard. I'm not just talking right now about that situation, you know, where you're just like the Heisman Trophy vote is, you know, when did it go to an offensive center, you know?
And interesting, if almost half of your 100 are football players, you would think half of your, it's only 3 of the top 10 are football players in Gale Sayers, Johnny Rogers, and Amon Green. And you actually, I mean, you can slide it down here a little bit. The next one is Marlon Briscoe at 17. So only 3 of the top 16 are listed as football players.
Good point. You know, baseball did take on, when you looked, you know, and the NFL, no one was going to be in the NFL that played in the 1910, 1920, 1930s. I mean, baseball is going to steal all that. So we're going to have some players that Grover Cleveland Alexander, you know, for instance, was going to play baseball because that was the sport that was played. There wasn't, you know, the NBA, the existence of the NBA.
And I respect that, too, because that Grover Cleveland Alexander is a good point. He's 3 on the list. Well, yes, back then all they did was pitch and pitch and pitch or bat. And, I mean, there was no off days. There was doubleheaders. Their stats are exaggerated because of the way the game was played. But you know what? I'd have to say that there were a lot more young men trying to play baseball then than there are now, percentage-wise. Obviously, the population's bigger. But I would have to say there was always town teams traveling little. I mean, there were teams everywhere and fewer major league teams. So I think it would have been harder to make a major league team then than it is now in some aspects.
Yeah, and again, you like you said too, with you know, you have athletes that had the success in the Olympics. You know, I think the Olympic Games and Nebraska football really solidified how this was done a little bit more. How your world class track athletes did, and how you did in the Olympic Games. Made the list a little bit more than how somebody. I know Rick Meyer won the discus for the University of Houston at 215 feet 1 inch. You know, won the and he's on the honorable mention list. You know, but he won the NCAA, but he did not have that success in the Olympic Games. So there was some, you know, the success you had in the Olympic Games seemed to be a little more important in track and field and your world class track and field than how you did in the Nebraska State track meet.
Yep. We will take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show. State Games of America, we've been getting into that. They had a few events this weekend, but it begins in earnest this week, and ceremonies going on this weekend. Doug McDermott going to be the Grand Marshal and all kinds of things going on down in the Lincoln and Omaha area. We will take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show, and as we do that, we want to let you know that it's time to get signed up for the 88th Annual Southwest Open. It is August 8th and 9th at the Holdridge Country Club, one of the biggest biggest. They call it the granddaddy of them all when it comes to open golf tournaments here in the area. Just a $95 entry fee, which gets you also into the tournament. A free practice round on Friday. Range balls, the dinner Saturday night, Calcutta. If you don't have a cart there, you can rent one for an extra fee. You can print off a registration form or find out more details online at HoldridgeCC.com. HoldridgeCC.com, or give them a call at the Holdridge Country Club at 995-5744, 308-995-5744, and sign up for the 88th Annual Southwest Open at the Holdridge Country Club coming up August 8th and 9th.
Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, getting you back in the game of life. With two locations in Kearney, the Ortho Clinic at the Kearney Clinic and the Rehab Clinic at the ENT Building. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, excellence in rehabilitation. A very proud supporter of the area athletes in and out of the game. Locations serving Kearney, Lexington, Minden, Ravenna, and Wood River. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center.
Comforting guidance when you need it most.
Horner, Liske, McBride, and Kuehl.
Dedicated, trusted, and compassionate service.
Horner, Liske, McBride, and Kuehl.
We listen to you.
We are here for you.
And we help ease a difficult time.
Our family serving your family for generations. Please call, stop by, or go online. Horner, Liske, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
One play can change momentum in a game.
Field goal attempt for the corner with 1.6 seconds to play. Now he launches up a shot at the buzzer.
And one deductible is a game changer when it comes to your insurance.
He hits it! A three-point field goal with the state championship.
That's why you should see Rich Peters and Matt Myers, your Farm Bureau agents. They can bundle your car and home together into a single policy. So, if life sends a blitz in the form of a storm or fire,
kidding me.
You'll pay just one deductible for everything that's covered. Talk to Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers today and see how simple it can be. Farm Bureau Property and Casualty Insurance Company, Western Agricultural Insurance Company, securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliates, Farm Bureau Financial Services.
We'll see some breaks of sun today, along with some isolated storms developing, especially this afternoon, with a high up around 95. South winds stay at 10 to 20. And scattered storms are possible tonight with a low at 72. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Oh,
okay. Right now, 77.
I think on our staff.
Doug and Daddy's show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us on this Monday. Coming up, Mark Snyder of the Detroit Free Press. Talk a little Michigan Wolverine football. And Thad Livingston, sports editor of the Omaha World Herald. Talk the Nebraska 100. If you've got any thoughts or questions for either one of those folks that you would like specifically asked, give us a tweet, give us an email. The Twitter address is at ESPN 1460 1550 at ESPN 1460 1550. You can email the Dent Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy at ESPN Superstation.com. Doug and Daddy at ESPN Superstation.com. Now, the Big Ten doesn't do an official poll preseason, you know, who's going to finish where, who's the MVP, all that. So Cleveland.com here has taken that over, and it's grown and grown and grown, and they'll get two. At first, it was two representatives that covered each school. Well, this year, however they did it, they had 40 voters, and they released that this morning. And no surprise that Ohio State was picked to win the East, and no surprise they were picked to win the conference, but it was unanimous by all 40 selectors. And then Michigan State, all 40 of them picked them to finish second in the East, followed by Penn State, Michigan, Maryland, Rutgers and Indiana is now back at the bottom. In the West, Wisconsin received 32 of the 41st place votes. Nebraska was second with 5. Minnesota was third with 3. Then Iowa, Northwestern, Illinois, and Purdue. So nothing really shocking there in the order. Kind of what you expect to see and kind of what we have been talking about during our 14 teams in 14 days. And Ohio State running back Ezekiel Elliott and lineman Joey Bosa named the offensive and defensive preseason players of the year. Malik Collins was sixth in the voting for the defensive player of the year. Husker football fans, as you are out there getting through a little bit of rain that we had here in the week, but the hot, steamy conditions continue, and that's why T&L is in your field like no other to help you get through a very, very warm summer. Whether it was in 2004 or whether it's in 2015 or you want one that's going to last you for 25, 30 years, T&L is there, reliable, and takes care of everything you need when it comes to your field, your crops. You put the work in, let T&L put the money in your pocket at the end of the season. See your T&L dealer like Bill Shapley at Mid-States Irrigation in Kearney, or go online to find out a whole lot more, not only about the new GPS navigation corner system, but everything that T&L has to offer at TLIRR.com. They're like no other. Worldwide headquarters in Hastings at T&L Irrigation. Coming up, we'll talk with Mark Snyder of the Detroit Free Press, but American Legion baseball tournaments continuing over the weekend. Kearney and Hastings out. And, Jimmy, we kind of talked about this. That was about as tough a draw, that four-team pod that Kearney was in. Anybody could have went 2-0 or 0-2, and Kearney dropped a close couple of close ones, 3-0, 7-6, and Hastings went 0-2. But Grand Island, both their home Federal seniors and Five Points juniors are 2-0, so they'll both play in winner's bracket finals tonight. Grand Island will be playing, of course, at Duncan Field, and the juniors are in Fremont, and those are both at 7 o'clock, so their program continues to be strong over there in the Third City.
Yeah, they kind of, like Tino said, they kind of caught a break when they lost their district. You know, so it's kind of a, and they didn't try to lose it. They wanted to win. Tino said they did everything they could to kind of try to win that. But, you know, the way it was seeded and the way it turned out, their bracket was going to be much easier going that direction.
Over at Duncan Field, there are 3 games today. So if you want to catch some baseball, you can do so. Starting at 1 o'clock, Millard South, Omaha Gross, and then Millard North and Pius at 4. Those are elimination games. And Grand Island plays Papio South at 7. Islanders had an interesting game. Calvin Henke got the win yesterday. Looked like everything was going good. 6-1 into the ninth inning. All of a sudden, the bullpen couldn't hold it. 3 runs. Millard North scores and has the tying run up, but couldn't get a huge inning. They got 3, but not enough. And area tournaments continue for the B and C seniors. As those are going on, they're a couple of nights away from crowning their champions in the BNC Senior State Tournaments coming up this weekend. Plus, in golf, it's probably one of the two biggest tournaments of the year for men's golfers. The 107th Nebraska Amateur teed off this morning at Indian Creek Golf Course there at Elkhorn. 156 players are going to be on the course. 4-day tournament for those that make the cut, trying to be the Nebraska state champion. We will take another break and then get into our 14 teams in 14 days. Michigan comes up next with Mark Snyder of the Detroit Free Press.
Hi, this is Ron Wall with Cargill Ag Horizons Marketing Services, better known as CAMS. As a personal marketing manager, I bring Cargill's global knowledge to your home or office by delivering unique insights that can benefit your operation. When you work with CAMS, you have expert marketers working for you so that you can concentrate on the business of farming. To learn more about how our disciplined approach to risk management can benefit your operation, call me at 402-710-1200. Cargill, helping farmers prosper.
The reality of today's real estate market is that there are more buyers than listings. Preparation plus the resources afforded by OneRocky.com can put you in the home you want, while delaying could cost you both dollars and the home you want. OneRocky.com, the right website. OneRocky.com, the right smartphone app. Rocky Geyser, the right real estate agent.
This is Rocky Geyser. If you're not on OneRocky.com, you're not on the right website.
If you care, call Rocky Geyser, because he does. OneRocky.com.
Raxum Clay is August 15th at the Heartland Shooting Park. Hornaday Manufacturing is the presenting sponsor for the 23rd annual Platte River Charity Shoot, benefiting Goodwill and the services they provide to people living with disabilities or barriers to working and living independently. There's something for everyone with youth, adult, individual, and team competitions. Scholarships awarded to winners of the youth division. Platte River Charity Shoot is sponsored by Rasmussen & Associates, Five Points Bank, and Hornaday Manufacturing. Sign up today at goodwillne.org.
Every baseball fan has respect for Major League Baseball's past, present, and future. And it comes alive at the Museum of Nebraska Major League Baseball in downtown St. Paul. Dedicated to illustrating the careers of over 150 men with Nebraska ties who have made it to the majors. Enjoy Hall of Fame exhibits featuring Alexander, Gibson, Boggs, Vance, Ashburn, Crawford, and Southworth. The Museum of Nebraska Major League Baseball, a place you've gotta see in downtown St. Paul. Open daily 9:30 to 4:30 and Saturday 10 to 2.
Have you ever seen a rusty fish? The same way scales protect a fish from his environment, the Arma Coating Spray-On Bedliners from the Dent Popper protects your pickup bed. No rust, no dents, no scratches, no chemical corrosion. So your truck has a longer work life and holds its value longer. Reduces load slippage, and here's a bonus, it quiets the ride. See the Dent Popper north of Railroad on 1st, on the bricks, downtown Kearney, and get a free estimate for an Arma Coating Spray-On Bedliner. Guaranteed for as long as you own your truck.
Golfers, mark your calendar for August 1st and 2nd and play in the annual Miller Coors three-person golf scramble at the beautiful Kearney Country Club. Not only does your entry fee include golf, cart, and steak dinner, but a Calcutta, prizes, and four complimentary Miller or Coors products. A practice round on Friday, a shootout Friday night, and golf Saturday and Sunday. Call the Kearney Country Club at 237-2553 and sign up for the annual Miller Coors three-person golf scramble August 1st and 2nd.
Doug and Daddy's show. Doug to Jim Langan with you on this Monday. Our Midtown Mart cooler question. Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coldest beer and coolest topics. We asked you over the weekend if Braxton Miller moving to wide receiver changes your thoughts on their title chances, and 88% of you said no difference at all. 12% of you said make it better. Maybe just to alleviate some of the confusion and the competition and what could be going on there. I did hear one interesting fact after our show Friday is that Miller is still going to work a little bit at the quarterback position. They said like he's going to take like 80% of the work at wide receiver and all the other stuff and still kind of try and come in. I don't know if he'll run, I can't believe, scout team, but maybe a couple series with the varsity every once in a while. So that's over the weekend. Now we ask you, did the Kansas City Royals make the right move in acquiring Johnny Cueto from the Reds? What do you think, Royals fan Jimmy?
Yes.
They had to give up some – you have to give something up. And Brandon Finnegan was cool. I mean, that from a Nebraska standpoint, you got to watch him pitch for TCU, watch him pitch in the College World Series, pitch in the World Series. First got to do that in the same season last year. So you'll miss that. The other two guys you probably haven't heard of, they've been in Omaha. So I hope it works out. Like I said, I don't know if he's a good fit, obviously, with the injuries. Ventura, a big outing yesterday. I mean, that's just one game, but it's way better than he's done over his last 6-8 outings. So vote now. Did the Royals make the right move in acquiring Johnny Cueto from the Reds? Our Midtown Mark cooler question at ESPNSuperstation.com.
It's that time. 14 teams in 14 days, where we'll preview a different team each day, leading you up to the Big Ten Media Days July 30th and 31st in Chicago. We're headed to the East Division for today's team, the Michigan Wolverines.
Well, we've been talking football almost all month. You have a little bit of it, but we've been previewing and previewing, and we're down to three teams. Iowa tomorrow, our Husker Roundtable Wednesday, which takes us into Media Days in Chicago. But we welcome back to the Doug and Daddy Show, Mark Snyder of the Detroit Free Press, Doug Duda, Jim Langan. Mark, good morning to you, and thanks for joining us again. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Everyone's ready around here, definitely.
Well, you know, we usually always like to throw out a little, because you do such a great job at covering everything up there, and with the Tigers in the Royals division, I guess everybody would have thought this would have been a little bit tighter between the two. The trade deadline coming up, are they going to sell the farm, or are they going to ride it out?
It's a zoo here, because everyone thinks they're doing everything, and that's kind of the problem. I mean, I think Jim Bowden, ESPN, you know, Tigers were on the national TV game last night on ESPN, and beforehand he tweeted something about that they're going to be buyers, because he said he talked to Dombrowski, and then Dombrowski told writers, well, I don't think anything's changed here. We're still just kind of waiting to see how it's going to play out. So I don't think they know one way or the other. I think that, you know, all logic says they should sell, but at the same time, you know, they got a really old owner who wants to make another push, and Dombrowski's in the last year of his contract, the general manager, so it's really a intriguing situation here, and we'll see what they do this week.
other than the bullpen, you know, the sixth and seventh innings, when Detroit has to go to the sixth and seventh inning to go to the bullpen, why else do you think Detroit fell off and is 10 games back?
Well, it's total inconsistency, I mean, all across the board. You know, they have one, they have maybe two legitimate starting pitchers. David Price is obviously outstanding, and he's the prime candidate to be traded and to get back prospects, obviously, as the Royals got Cueto. You guys were just talking about that. But it's deeper than that. Anibal Sanchez has been pretty good as number two, but then the two guys, Verlander's been hit and miss. He's been inconsistent and hasn't played. I mean, for much of the year, he was injured. So there's a lot of problems there. But then in terms of the offense is great, but now Miguel Cabrera is, you know, in the middle of a six-week absence. And even before that, what sometimes they're on. They have a murderer's row lineup, but there are times when they score one run and they get a great pitching performance and lose 2-1. It's just all over the place, and great teams aren't that inconsistent. They're good at one thing or the other, but they're not all over the place all the time.
Well, the Royals embark on a 10-game road trip beginning tonight in Cleveland, and it ends up next week in Detroit. So a chance for the Tigers maybe to gain some ground on a team that might be a little road-weary by that time. It'll be a good segue when we talk about the Lions, because whether we wanted to be a Detroit fan or not, if you wanted to follow ex-Huskers, they've seemed to have a few. And, of course, you lose one in Ndamukong Suh, and you bring one in Amir Abdullah, and it sounds like everybody loves Amir. How's he doing?
Yeah, I think they're happy. I mean, they're going to start camp here in a couple of days, but I think they're really excited. People here are really excited about Abdullah because they think he's very versatile and he can do a lot of things. And they have a guy who's a between the tackles runner and pretty speedy, and Joy Cabal, who's kind of emerged. And they got rid of Reggie Bush knowing they were going to have Abdullah, or expecting to have someone like Abdullah, I guess. And so his ability to do everything really is going to be an interesting asset in this offense.
And how much will they miss Sue? It sounds like a few people think Detroit not be a playoff team this year.
Yeah, well, they were a playoff team last year, so I think that there's an expectation that should continue. But, yeah, losing Sue is huge. You know, he's the best defensive tackle in the game. He commanded double teams, and I think that's the one thing they're going to understand. It wasn't, you know, at that spot, it's not always about the production like it was his first year when he had all those sacks. I think it's more about the idea of what he clogged up to open up other stuff for other guys. You know, I don't know. They got Cody Nada, but he's not exactly the same thing as Sue. And, I mean, he's a little more advanced in age, too, so I don't know that he's going to fill that spot entirely. So I think they'll see the absence of Sue pretty quickly.
Mark Schneider of the Detroit Free Press joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Let's get to the college football talk here on the Doug and Daddy Show. The unofficial media poll comes out from Cleveland.com today, and Michigan and Michigan State are in the upper half of the East. Everybody's chasing Ohio State. Can you get a handle? I mean, I see a lot of your articles are talking about lack of depth. What does Michigan actually have on the field for Coach Harbaugh to work with?
I think defense should be solid. They've got a great linebacking core of all three seniors, Morgan, James Ross, and Joe Bolden. And Bolden could be an all-Big Ten player this year. I think, you know, that's solid. And the defensive backfield, you know, they have now Jabril Peppers, the highly rated recruit who was injured last year. He's going to be there at safety. He should help the secondary. And up front, I mean, they lose their end, but their tackles are returning and they're veterans. So the defense should be good. And DJ Durkin, who was Florida's coordinator the last couple of years, is a really talented defensive coordinator. So I think that the defense could be solid. But on offense, who knows what they have? I mean, they don't have a quarterback. They have, I mean, everyone's expecting Jake Rudock to transfer from Iowa, fifth-year transfer, to step in there and just take over. But, you know, Iowa didn't want him. So, you know, there's obviously some questions about that. And they have running backs who have been highly rated, but none of them have produced sufficiently. They have, in terms of their receivers, they don't really have much there. Devin Funchess left early for the NFL. And the offensive line has been crazy and consistent over a couple of years. I mean, it's improving, but it's not making the strides, obviously, they want. So we'll see. You know, the offense is definitely more than a work in progress. It's really an unknown.
You know, when I look at your schedule, it's almost dangerous because you have Michigan State and Ohio State, and you get to play them at home. And which means to me that those are potential losses too. Then every game you play on the road looks to me like it's a potential loss. What do you think this team, what do you think the record's going to be? Because I look at after eight games and anything over 500, if you go 5-3 after eight games, I think that's a great start. And I don't know if that's going to please Michigan people.
No, I think that, you know, the Jim Harbaugh effect basically means everyone thinks, I just did a chat today, and everyone thinks they're going to win 10 games. And I'm like, where? Show me where the 10 are. You know, I mean, this was a 5-7 team last year, and, you know, progress would be winning 2 or 3 more games. I mean, that's kind of normal incremental progress and good progress, I guess, in college football. You don't see teams improving by 5 wins in a single season, no matter what. I mean, unless they come in with some dynamic player. Harbaugh's not going to be on the field. I mean, if he was going to be the quarterback, well, maybe, you know, you could say something different, but he's not, obviously. So this is a different situation. I think that, you know, improving by those couple games would probably be realistic. I think, you know, if you get to 8 wins, I think that that's pretty solid. And if they somehow, you know, play really above their head, then maybe 9. But that really seems a stretch to me.
We're talking with Mark Snyder of the Detroit Free Press here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio and our 14 teams in 14 days and the Wolverines. And they've always had somebody special in special teams. Do you have a youngster coming up? Because it looks like it's open for business there.
Yeah, I don't think in terms of the return men, they haven't really had much in the last couple of years at all. It's really been a real problem for Michigan. So, you know, I don't really know who it's going to be. I think that Peppers is a good candidate. Freddie Keane, who's going to be a sophomore, there's another candidate, and maybe one of the freshmen. But I think that those skill players, you know, I think Harbaugh's not going to hesitate to use guys. I think sometimes Brady Hoke was cautious about guys getting hurt or putting his best athletes in those positions. And I think Harbaugh's not going to wait. If guys get hurt, they get hurt. But he knows that those are game-deciding plays, and he's not going to mess around and wait for those.
Mark, can you tell the fans out there, this was a story that was kind of a big deal, but if folks missed it, about the tryouts and how nobody's spot was secure there for Coach Harbaugh?
Well, this is something that a fifth-year senior who left named Keith Heitzman, who had played, you know, defensive end and tight end and never really made much of an impact at Michigan. He said to Columbus Dispatch last week, you know, he's now at Ohio, he transferred to Ohio University, and they talked to him, and he basically said to them, you know, we were told, and all the fifth-year players were told in the spring, we had to try out for our position. We had to try out. He didn't say whether it's a position or for the team. But fifth-year play, you know, they have 4-year guaranteed scholarships. In the fifth year, Harbaugh's trying to see how much they want it and whether they're going to make an impact. And he does. Obviously, they're not promised that fifth year. And so I think that he was kind of laying it out for them. You got to prove to me that you're going to be committed to this and you can make an impact for this team. And I think that some of those guys said, well, this is, you know, after 4 years, what I've given, then I'm probably entitled to something. And I guess they didn't get that. So I don't know how much of that. We'll talk to Harbaugh this week and see how much of that's accurate. Exactly. But I think that sounds like something he'd do.
Yeah, you know, Coach Harbaugh, it sounds to me, going into Michigan, because of the Brady Hoke situation and the way the body language, when I watched the body language of some of the Michigan games, it wasn't like, and I always thought they had good body language against Ohio State. I always thought they tried to compete really hard in that game. But there were some other games where I didn't see the body language as that well. It seems to me that, you know, he's going to go in there. He's supposed to turn this thing around. But, boy, I'll tell you what, he's going to ruffle some feathers, your thoughts.
Yeah, I think so, and that's who he is. I think he's always done that. But, you know, those are the kind of guys who get quick results. The first couple of years are always great because, you know, there are players often with talent, and he can get the most out of those players, and that's kind of what they're hoping. They haven't had a coach, you know, Brady Hoke didn't do that. I don't think anyone could argue that he got the most out of any player. So that was really the opportunity for Harbaugh to come in and make that impact. Whether the guys like him or not is another issue, but I think that he doesn't care if he's like. He cares about winning, and that's what he's proven at his other stops. He always wins. They take a couple of years like it did at Stanford, but they get there. I think that people looking at the San Francisco 49ers, where he walked in and took a 4-win team to the NFC Championship game the next year, that's a different deal. It's the NFL. These guys are ready to play. They just need a little motivation. I think that at Michigan, you know, there's some talent gaps, and he can't necessarily fill those in a year.
Last minute here with Mark Snyder, Detroit Free Press. Mark, your opinion, why Brady Hoke failed at Michigan?
I think a lot of it was player development. I think that's a great deal of it, that he didn't get the most out of it. I think that in terms of the players they recruited, you know, I think he tried to go for a lot of character. He tried to go for good students and refine the academic situation, and I think that not necessarily that's a bad thing, but I think there are times you need focus more on the gamers, and I think that that combination, the development and who he recruited, really took its toll. I mean, he didn't have an offensive line that was impactful for all that time, and he tried to walk the line in terms of the quarterback. Obviously, they were transitioning from Rich Rodriguez's spread system to the power system he wanted, and that's what, and they had Devin Carter. He was really the only quarterback on the roster they had, and they tried to, they didn't know which they were. Sometimes they ran with him, sometimes they threw with him, and he did, he was kind of caught in between all the time. That's why he never developed to the player many people thought he could be.
You talked about most of the positions and the strength that you thought would be defensively, linebacker, O-line. Is that going to be the strength offensively by default, or is it really going to be a solid line?
Well, I don't think we know what the offensive strength is going to be. I don't know that there is one. That's the veteran group. That's the guys who have been around, but now they're going to be on yet another offensive line coach. And Tim Drevno, the offensive line coach, has been at great success. Last year's USC, he was with Harbaugh for, you know, about 10 years before that, and he had made a lot of impact with the 49ers and Stanford, et cetera, who all had great lines. But at the same time, you know, until it's out actually on the field, these guys have not performed at a high level despite their high rankings coming out of high school. So until someone gets it out of them, you know, you're cautious about whether they ever will.
Well, I'll make one prediction on this, and one of them, I'm going to tell you this, is ball security will be one thing that he will bring to the table this year, because if your offense is not going to generate a bunch of numbers, then ball security and being able to get the ball and punt and play defense is going to be a key. And the other thing, I'm going to tell you, when UNLV comes to town, they're going to run up the score on him big time. He is going to make up that game is something I've been looking at. For when the UNLV shows up, he is not going to hold back any punches. You will see some record numbers that day.
Why do you think is there some connection between him and UNLV?
No, it's just that he needs to get a win and get those
numbers. They're not very good.
they're not very good, and he's not going to pull back. I mean, Alabama, when they used to play, when he had his great teams at Alabama, and Colorado State came in, it was 42-0. He was very generous,
but
I don't think this is going to be a generous win.
No, I'm with you there, especially UNLV having a high school coach going up against Harbaugh, who's one of the hottest coaches in the country at any level. I think that's going to be a little bit of a mismatch.
Well, Mark, hey, we'll just say that this went a lot better than the Cowherd Harbaugh interview. And and thank you, as always, for your time. We'll see you in a couple of days in Chicago.
Look forward to it, guys.
Thanks, Mark. Mark Snyder, Detroit Free Press, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. And for your information, if you think that it would be a good idea to buy some Big Ten championship football tickets, they go on sale Saturday at 11 o'clock Central Time. Big Ten football championship general public tickets go on sale Saturday, 11 o'clock. The game is Saturday, December 5th, right back there in Indianapolis at Lucas Oil Stadium. The game will be broadcast nationally on Fox. Tickets range from $50 to $90, depending where you sit. Ticketmaster has all the information, ticketmaster.com. And a Hastings native is pulling more duty with the University of Nebraska Athletic Department, has added Dr. Todd Stoll to its full-time staff as the director of sports psychology. He's worked as a consulting sport psychiatrist for the Huskers, and he'll work with all of the Huskers varsity sports. Earned his bachelor's degree from Hastings College, was a former quarterback for the Broncos team. So good luck to Dr. Todd Stoll with the Huskers. We'll take a break, talk about the Nebraska 100 with Omaha World Herald sports director, sports editor, it is in paper world, Todd Livingston, after this.
Play ball!
Great fielding and solid hitting start with the right stuff from TM Sporting Goods. Choose from brands like Louisville Slugger, Rip It, Mizuno, and Wilson. All the summer sports are made better with the right apparel and equipment from TM Sporting Goods.
Save!
Then roll in the expertise provided by Steve Varinall and Tino Martinez. TM Sporting Goods on the Bricks, downtown Kearney, a division of Protein Design. Every sport done right.
The Kool-Aid Days Festival comes to Hastings August 7th, 8th, and 9th. How are you going to participate? Be a chef and cook in our first Cooking with Kool-Aid contest, open to kids and adults. Create a jammer's boat for the races at the Aqua Court on Friday afternoon. Have a special talent? Perform on the Stage of Dreams on Saturday. Run or walk in the Fun Run Sunday morning. Or if boating's your thing, build a cardboard boat for the races on Lake Hastings Sunday. And of course, you can always volunteer to help make the Kool-Aid Days Festival a fun weekend. How can you be a part of Kool-Aid Days? Check out all the options at KoolAidDays.com.
The following sponsors are proud to support the area youth involved with all the area county 4-H and livestock auctions. Pedley Drug, Ostermeyer Equipment, Ron Wall Cargill, Broadfoot Sand and Gravel, Matson Seed, Shelton Locker, Steve Casper, your Hogemeyer Seed Dealer in Minden, Adams Corner Market in Gibbon, and McBride Realty in Minden. Good luck to each and every one of you. Taking time out of your summer to be part of such a great program is a blue ribbon in itself. It's been a long day. It's cold outside and your car is on E. Ugh. Okay, I'll go to Fast Bills. Because when I walk in, I know that I will be greeted with a fresh brewed tea or coffee and a smile. A good joke and sometimes a bad one. But the point is, they remember their customers and treat them like friends. So all of a sudden, filling up is something you look forward to. Fast Fills Plaza, your Senex station, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. Fill your tank with Senex gasoline and fill your tummy with all your favorite munchies.
See, Caleb doesn't know all the athletes from our day, Jimmy, and I have no idea what this song is from his day. So is that's fair, right?
I think that's fair. I get my 30 seconds between each segment.
Yellow card, huh?
Caleb, you really don't know some of the athletes from our time?
Just a couple, yeah. I looked through that list, and I think I could go through, and half of them I wouldn't name.
Yeah,
I
had to read up on Ed Weir. I mean, there were some people that, you know, Guy Chamberlain. There were some guys that you had to look back up and go, what did that guy do?
Well, just reacquaint yourself with what some of them did. Doug and Daddy Show, Doug Duda, Jim Langan with you here in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. The summer clearance event is going on now at Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. You can visit thinkmidway.com or stop into the dealership on South 2nd Avenue with over 130 Chrysler products to choose from. You're sure to find one to fit your needs this summer. It's the summer clearance event going on now at your Midway Auto Dealership, South 2nd Avenue, Kearney, and thinkmidway.com. Midway, it's a better way. Well, we are pleased to welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show the Omaha World Herald sports editor, Thad Livingston, and you may have seen him with a couple of articles in the World Herald or online at omaha.com contributing and being part of the Nebraska 100. And Thad, welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show. We've had fun following along.
Hey. It's nice to be here, you guys.
Well, as I mentioned earlier in the show, I caught one of your clips with Michael Severe on the bottom line talking about Tom Kropp. And, I mean, that kind of sparked where you go here. There are so many avenues to putting this Nebraska 100 together. The youth, the older folks, the fight in the middle, who's playing now, who's better. And as you said, 2005 was much tougher because you had to get everything together for everybody. And I think the numbers are over 400 athletes that you guys have considered. What was the toughest part about the update in your eyes?
Well, I'll take you back to 2005. You know, it kind of started out as a journalistic endeavor of an educational process and bringing back to life, so to speak, some people that people probably had forgot about or may never known. You know, when you work here, there's all kinds of people that come in and out, and some people from different generations that work here that have input on this stuff, and it's, you know, the sports department talk. So I think somewhere along the line, we just said, we should do something on all these people that, you know, I left the state and came back, and I didn't know some of the stuff, and I grew up in the state. So kind of to answer your question, in the first list in 2005, we put some people that were probably somewhat controversial as far as their athletic skills on the list, because the idea at that point in time was to dig some of these people up and present them to the public for kind of historical purposes. They're important to the state, important to their sort of sport or skill, and might have disappeared into the annals of history. So that was the kind of the main goal of that, is to bring them back. And now here, 10 years later, it was more focused on athletic ability, I guess, real big-time athletes. So for lack of a better word, we kind of weeded some of those out, and the one that everybody likes to use is we put a fisherman on the first one, and as you notice, he's gone. but he's in our historical record now. But we had to make room for people who have really performed on the athletic field, and I guess to bump some of those people off, we added nine to bump some of the people that were on there for good reasons, was a hard thing to do. You know, we bumped a tennis player, we bumped a jockey, we bumped a fisherman, and we bumped some people that were probably not very well known, and moved some people on that had similar resumes. But they're still there somewhere. So it's, you know, they're not really ever leaving us. So I think it was a good thing to do.
Yeah, hey, I do appreciate, I mean, I think when the jockey won it in 1949, the Kentucky Derby, you know, and he rode that horse. But I think it was something to bring out to the attention to the people. Hey, here's this. I don't know if he should be on the list, but I do think it was important to have that known and then the historic thing that he did. I noticed one thing. Of course, Nebraska football seemed if you played on a team that was very well noticed, it seemed to help you a little bit. And then if you were drafted in two sports, I mean, and then whether you made it or not, whether you were a great athlete and you made it in the NFL or anything, but if you were drafted in two sports, that seemed to help. Heisman Trophy winner seemed to be very critical. That looks good on your resume. Olympic medal and then the Baseball Hall of Fame. Did you have some criteria like that you looked at and said, hold it, we've got to do this, this, and this? Because I noticed there's only two ladies that are in the top 30.
Yeah. Well, it's really becomes, as you can imagine, I don't want to bore you with all the time that we've sat around and discussions have come up about who should be in. But what it really starts to boil down to is when you make the decisions on who should be higher or who should be in or out, if you have the background information, and over time we've accumulated it, we've got guys like, I know you guys talk to Stu every now and then, we've got, you know, that's kind of the cool thing about being at the World Herald. You got all these people at your disposal to talk to and come up. But if somebody had a great high school career, that's just not enough, you know. But if they went on to college and continued and were consistent through college, and then were good in the pros for quite some time, I mean, you cover all three steps, and consistency over the long haul was very, very hard to do, but that would pretty much get you at least considered for the top 100. In other words, we'd have a guy with a great high school career who maybe went to an NAIA school and did well and then wasn't drafted, didn't have a pro career. That would not match up. So a lot of it, if you excel at all three levels, I mean, you're pretty tough to beat. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead, Thad. Finish your thought.
The good example, like I said on the bottom line the other day, the Tom Kropp obviously excelled on three levels. He didn't play at the NCAA Division I level, but we all know he could have if he would have chosen to. And the fact that he was drafted into, you know, three leagues, two different sports, and I'm sure probably could have played in the NFL if he would have wanted to. And I think from, you know, I know Tom a little bit and know people who know him. I think he could have played in the NBA longer than he did if things would have broken his favor. But he went to Europe and had a great career. He's in the top 10. And you talk to people like, Why is he in there? And you just know that, well, you need to do your homework. And a lot of you can bring that up. That's the fun of it. This thing never ends, and it gives you guys a lot to talk about. I mean, the first time we did it in 2005, I mean, there was a lot of talk about it. And there is now, too. It's just done differently. I mean, there's so much more people, many more people online, Twitter and everything else, so. So it's fun. It's fun for you guys, I'm sure.
Thad Levingston, the sports editor of the Omaha World Herald. I think, again, when you see a list like this, it's so much easier to question, be critical, than it is to praise. And I want to make sure that, again, we say how great it is. And, of course, if Tom Kropp if he would have fallen out of the top 10 this time around, we would have had to drive down there with baseball bats and find out who made that decision. But I do have one question for you, Thad, because I thought maybe the toughest part was just the overall criteria, who we consider or who you guys considered and who you didn't consider. And a lot of that I thought was interesting. Well, like a Jack Sock goes to school here. He's won a major doubles crown, which I think would be high criteria. And I know he's probably one of those that just missed the cut. But didn't graduate in Nebraska because he went, I believe it was to Kansas City, and Cal Kvecchia, who was only in Nebraska till 13. But unless I'm wrong, and I tried to do all the research I could here, didn't Niall Kinnick only go to high school 1 year in Nebraska? And I guess I find that a little ironic if somebody went to school here for a while, and then you got a guy that only went 1 year, why he would have been considered.
Yeah, you're right. He had one good year at Benson. He was in school here in Omaha for 2 years, but I think he played 1 year of sports. But that was enough for us. I mean, he became a part of our state's history, and he's probably more so Iowa's state history, but he did have one good year here. I think it would have been worse if we would have not named him after he did play 1 year here. So sometimes it just comes down to that. I mean, what would the damages be if we didn't name him?
And I don't even really hate Iowa. this isn't an anti-Iowa point either. I found it interesting. And another point that I thought was interesting, I think even if we sat here for a month, it's hard to recognize the talent that we see in front of our eyes now. You brought nine new on, but only one of them, in Jordan Larson, was in the top 25. I mean, you moved Crouch up to 30 recent. But how hard is it for somebody like an Alex Gordon, if they just finished their career, not necessarily Crawford or Gordon, but how hard is it to say, you know what, one of the gals I'm seeing play, actually should be in the top 20 greatest athletes? Because there's not many in that list in the top 30 from the last 40, 35 years.
Right. Well, if we're talking about women, I mean, their history is a little much shorter. With varsity at high school sports starting in, what, I don't know, it was 71, early 70s at some point. I would think that if, you know, the plan, now who knows who's going to be around here in 10 years, but in 10 years, I would think that there's going to be more move up if we're talking women. Although it's likely that we would at some point split the list, have a men's list and a women's list, and maybe it's a top 50 women. We came close to doing that this year. We have a steering committee that was very interesting. We did it in 2005. We did it again this year. And people on the steering committee thought we might want to start splitting the list and name a top 25 women. And we did consider it, but I think we're still 10 years away from having a really good, rock-solid top 50. But I don't know. The farther you move up that list, the harder it's going to be to break in. Now, Crawford, if he continues to excel, I mean, Crawford could break into the top 10 if he finishes his career undefeated and beats some name opponents. I mean, I think there was a pretty big groundswell of support for him to be in the top 10 this time, and some people, I think, are upset that he's not. But what if he loses his next three fights? 10 years from now, we'd look silly.
Just tell
not saying he will.
Tell Tony Boone to take it easy.
You guys know Tony Boone. Right?
Oh, yeah. He's from our neck of the woods, at least was for a while. But, Jimmy, go ahead.
Yeah, I agree with you on Kinnick. I think 1 year you have to make a decision. You have to say, hey, this is the rule. This is what we're going to do. It's no different than Reggie Jackson and the Oakland A's saying he's one of our all-time top four players. And the New York Yankees are saying, hey, hold it, he's one of our top four all-time players. Or LeBron James, you know, one of the top four for the Cleveland Cavaliers, or, you know, Miami Heat. I mean, there's going to be some players that did enough. And I think in Iowa and Nebraska, he'd be on both lifts if they have a top 100. So I definitely agree with you on that. My other comment to you on this was, When you were pushing for athletes and the baseball careers, you know, from 1900 to 1940, you know, that was a sport that was played, unlike football and basketball. Your thoughts on some of those guys? Because it seemed like Nebraska had some big-time players during that stretch.
That's the beauty of this thing is, you know, if you really follow baseball and love it, you're going to know some people. But for the normal guy on the street, they don't. And you bring this stuff back and they start comparing numbers. Like, you know, people, Alex Gordon is great. And then you start, well, it would be about baseball. You have tons of stats. And you can pretty much lay them out and say, well, take a look. And one of my things was, I know Gordon still has some playing time in front of him, and he could continue to move up. But you look at Bob Serve's numbers, and, you know, he's, I think in my book, he's still ahead. And a lot of people would say, well, who's that? I mean, you guys probably wouldn't, but I know people who do. Mel Harder, guys like that, that really weren't that long ago, but long enough for people to forget about it. So it's great that we can bring them back and have people read about them. And one thing I should say is, 10 years ago, we printed everybody's bios in the paper. I mean, 90% of this project is still at Omaha.com, and we've updated all the bios. So everybody on that list basically has a story about their career. But it's at Omaha.com, and of course, more and more people are reading that. So it takes so much space to put it in the paper. But we, one of the biggest efforts of this whole thing, again, was to update everybody's bio and write new ones.
And we'll wrap things up here with the sports editor of the Omaha World-Herald, Thad Livingston, which is fun, and you can go on Omaha.com, and they've put the project together. And did I see there's even, you guys will put a book together? Is that what you're going to do, or are we kind of done this time around?
No, we're going to, the plan is to put a book together with all those bios I was just talking about that are on Omaha.com, but it'll be, they'll be in a book. And the one thing I think I wrote a couple weeks ago, one of the coolest parts about this is when, you know, teachers would contact us in 2005 and want these more papers so they could share them with their class. So it is really a good educational, historical thing to read about, and young kids can learn about all these great athletes that are from here. I mean, to me, that's the coolest part about it.
Did you get to have the final say?
Yeah. Well, I'm smart enough to know that there are people that inside the office and people I respect that know more about this stuff than I do. So, yeah, I would have veto power, but I would be sure to do my homework.
You mentioned Bob Serve. Was he the one guy that you had? Everybody fought for somebody. I just from hearing with some of your colleagues and some of the folks that you had that don't work at the paper on the initial thing, just in talking to some of them, the interesting, everybody probably had one guy that they were, and we mentioned Tony and Bud Crawford there, how we fought for him. Was there one guy you fought for a little bit or gal?
Well, I thought some people really came down hard on us for Louise Pound. And that's another person, you know, this is before sports even started in this state.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to make sure before we bumped her out, like a lot of people wanted us to, that we did our homework. And it wasn't that I wanted her in it, but I didn't want to bump her just because some people didn't know who she was and what she contributed to the state. And I think once you find out all the stuff that she did and how important she was, she's got to be on the list. Other than that, my background is, I think the people who excel in football and basketball, because so many people compete in those two sports, that it's, if you excel and you're really good in those two sports, you might get the nod over somebody that was in a sport where fewer people compete in it. I mean, that's kind of one of the things that I always kept an eye on. And I should say, maybe I got to go, but, you know, everybody remembers Johnny Rogers for one punt return. And we get correspondence, you know, this guy should be ahead of so-and-so, and there's a certain guy who made one good run and is in your top 10. And I'm like, man, this guy excelled in the most important sport to this state on the biggest stages. And to me, that's what separates the great ones from the good ones, is when you can actually do it when it's on the biggest stage and when it's most important. And that guy answered the bell every time. And I don't want people to think, a lot of people think that Johnny shouldn't be in our top 10, but it's amazing to me that some people, I always bring that up. It's like, come on.
And we
cannot say that this guy.
We brought it up on the show today too, that we double checked, because as we said, you guys pinpointed the best sport for each one, but Rogers averaged 20 points a game in basketball and was a state track champion. So just kind of finishing a point we had from earlier in the show, Jimmy, I'll let you wrap it up.
Yeah, you know, and you were talking about Tom Kropp, and you said he excelled in three sports. Well, If you look at your homework, he excelled in four because he was threw a no-hitter in the Class B state championship baseball. And Arizona State recruited him for baseball. And at that time, Arizona State was good. And if there's that one little wild card thing that can keep him there, he won the Ford Punt Pass and Kick Championship at age 13. So don't put that an asterisk down there, too.
I got it.
It's on his bio.
Is it really?
They've got
that's on his bio. No way.
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
You click on
Crop. I thought I was the only guy that knew that.
You know what? It's got both of the things that you mentioned about his pitching in baseball and about the punt, pass, and kick.
How about Arizona State?
It doesn't have Arizona.
Oh, they got to get that in there.
Pat, anything you wanted to mention? Anything you wanted to mention before we let you go?
There's all kinds of stuff. I mean, these stories are endless about all these guys. Crop has tons of them. Johnny Rogers has tons of them. It's just fun stuff for everybody, and I hope people are reading it and following it. And I hope we can get it done again in 10 years.
Well, we appreciate you giving us time on the Doug and Daddy Show to recap it. It's fun, and I'll continue. I haven't even gotten to all of it yet. I've gotten to most of it, but I'll get a chance to go look at some more here. So, and we encourage our listeners to do the same and go to omaha.com. Thad Livingston, sports editor, Omaha World Herald. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thanks. We'll take a we'll take a chance here to wrap things up on the Doug and Daddy Show as you head out to lunch. Don't forget, Monday at the Kearney Chicken Coop Sports Bar and Grill, steak sandwich. Your choice of side is the lunch special. Wings on Monday and Tuesday, boneless tonight, bone-in tomorrow. And, of course, Monday is Coop Koozie night. If you get your Coop Koozie, it only costs you $5. Then you can get 12-ounce cold ones for only $1 on Monday nights. And if you've already got the Koozie, bring it in. And same thing, watch your favorite sport. Events, enjoy your favorite food in the air-conditioned comfort of the Kearney Chicken Coop Sports Bar and Grill. No one combines the best of both like the Kearney Chicken Coop.
You know, they was talking about something that would be interesting is just the top 100 plays. You know, just one play that took place. You know, like if somebody, well, Johnny Rogers' punt return, for instance, against Oklahoma, that was just one single player. Kent Rickaway hit a game-winning basketball shot in the state championship game. He kind of one-handed it, mm-hmm. grabbed it, and heaved it in, you know. But it'd be interesting to see how that would take place, you know. And because worldwide or United States, you know, Bobby Beamon's 29-foot, 2.5-inch long jump. Tom Dempsey's 63-yard field goal. You know what I mean? There's just that one sequence where, you know, those guys weren't going to be on the list ever. But for one play on one day, they could make that list. Yeah.
Lists have helped continue on television, radio, and newspapers when it is kind of a quiet time. Why else would the NFL Network have their top 100 coming into this year, led by J.J. Watt? The Lincoln Journal-Star had they didn't rank them, but they took a few years ago, like, okay, I think it was a score. But, okay, today, number 100. So it was like somebody that returned a kick return or a pick return, a 99-yard score, a 98, 97, and they did it all down to one. Like Mike Rozier, number two, a two-yarder that he ran against UCLA. He went all over the place, but it was only 2 yards on the stat sheet. And so there are lists everywhere. A couple more things before we get out of here on a UNK note. Head football coach Josh Lamberson has added another coach to his staff. Kevin Blyle will be the tight ends coach. Blyle has spent the last year as the wide receivers coach at Texas A&M Commerce, which is Division II. Of course, he was a grad assistant with coach at Central Missouri, then went to Iowa State and was even a student assistant at his alma mater in Akron. Lamberson still has grad and student assistant coaches to put on. And the roster continues to grow for Kerry Hofstetter. Former Centura All-Stater Courtney Aiken is now going to join the team. Out of high school, she went to the Huskers for a year. She'll have 3 years of eligibility remaining. So there you go. And volleyball, we talked about Jordan Larson. She was part of the USA team that went a perfect 5-0 in Omaha at the FIBA World Grand Prix Championships, and the United States won it all and swept China to wrap it up yesterday. So there you go. A busy Doug and Daddy Show. We're back tomorrow. Bob Jensen of Huskerland Prep Report is going to be in as the co-host. The 2015 High School Football Preview Magazine is out. We will release the top 10, talk about some of the big games of the year, and preseason All-State. And we will also talk Iowa Hawkeye football, just for Bob Hamer, on tomorrow's Doug and Daddy Show. And then Wednesday, our Husker Roundtable. If you've got any questions about the Huskers, tweet us or email email us, and we'll give it to our panel of Sean Callahan, Steve Sipple, and Mike Babcock. We will see you tomorrow on the Doug and Daddy Show, and thank our guests today, Thad Livingston of the Omaha World Herald and Mark Snyder of the Detroit Free Press. Jimmy, have a good week. I'll see you next week.
Yes, you will.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.